I'm Al John Goh, podcaster and producer of the Disney List, Skull Rock Podcast, and Dining at Disney. When you're creating content, podcast, webcasting, live streaming, or wanting to step up your video conference calls, you need quality gear and accessories. That's why I use Gator Frameworks in my studio. From professional broadcast boom arms and microphone stands, studio monitor speaker stands, ring light kits, headphone holders, elite furniture studio desks, and acoustic wall treatments, Gator Frameworks has you covered. Gator is the leading brand of cases, stands, and support system solutions for music, pro AV, creative pro, IT, and general utility industries. They have over 1,000 different solutions made from vacuum-formed plastics, rational molded plastics, wood, sewn, and EVA materials. Leveraging their expertise in case design and manufacturing, Gator has a complete OEM division that works with leading companies around the world to engineer and create custom cases for original equipment manufacturers. For more information, visit GatorFrameworks.com. Product provided in exchange for promotional consideration.
I'm Kristen Hetzel, co-host of Dining at Disney podcast. Every week, I chat about dining at Disneyland and Walt Disney World Resort and Disney Cruise Line with my fellow foodie, Bubba. We also feature restaurants and food reviews, information to help you plan your dining, Disney food news, recipes, and a monthly panel discussion. Visit diningatdisney.com and subscribe to Dining at Disney podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, or your favorite podcast platform. Dining at Disney podcast, the happiest plate on earth.
Techno magic. Wow, this is really upbeat. I don't recall the Tomorrowland soundtrack being so upbeat.
I don't think it is. Not just quite that upbeat.
Well, anyway, yeah, it's good.
But it sounds very much like it could be played at Disney.
Yeah.
Because you do find a lot of very upbeat music.
You know, the funny thing is that you don't really know the type of music. I don't really pay attention to the music when I'm actually on the ride, because all I hear is just rolling around. But what is our topic for today?
We are talking the top 10 facts of Space Mountain.
Did I surprise you with that throw?
Yes.
Did I throw it to you? Yeah, nice. Hey, so it is the Disney List, of course. And before we get into it, we do have some Disney news to talk about, as well as our top 10 list, as Kristen mentioned. But we want you to consider booking your trip with Kristen, because not only is she an awesome vacation traveling specialist, she has been to the park millions of times. Well, not really
not,
millions.
Not maybe, millions.
Maybe hundreds of
hundreds.
Times. Hundreds of times. And she can help you save money, time, aggravation, and help you through the booking process. So you can support the show in doing that, Kristen. What else can you do in terms of offering services that Disney won't, that Disney doesn't give you if you book directly through them?
Well, for everybody who has children, which is going to be anybody under age 18 in the travel party, I do send a little something special for the kids. So whether they're little kids or teenagers, you know, and I send different things too. So, you know, just because you have a kid that's 13 doesn't mean that the six-year-old's going to get the same thing.
True. You know what we
but
need?
But I also...
Yeah, go ahead.
Once they book, I continue to look for better deals. Because personally, I like to save money. The more money I save, the more I get to spend when I'm there.
Yes.
And so I do the same thing for my guests. I try and find them better deals.
That's right. So save time, save money. She can help with the dining
and
recommendations.
I'm free.
And you're free. Yes, it's absolutely free. So be sure to avail yourself. Email Kristen at themeparksandcruises@gmail.com. And be like a bunch of our friends who support this show, who listen to us, and we do appreciate that. We're going to have to get some testimonials from some of your friends that have booked, which is awesome, because we definitely need that. It would be certainly super, super helpful. You know what I mean?
Yes, it would.
Anyway, it would be super, super helpful. I don't know why I'm having such a problem today. I'm having a huge problem today.
I don't know what to tell you.
Anyway, once again, the email themeparksandcruises@gmail.com.
The following is a production of the Sorcerer Radio Network.
An imagination, huh?
Are you guys ready?
Are you ready?
From the Gator Framework Studio in Music City, it's the Disney List. The Disney List.
Disney fans Kristen Hetzel and Al John Go bring you top 10 lists from the Disney parks, films, Star Wars, Marvel, news, travel tips, and more. Now prepare yourself for the Disney List.
Welcome back, fam. We appreciate you tuning into the Disney List. Whether you're listening to us on your favorite podcast platform or on Sorcerer Radio at srsounds.com every Monday, we do appreciate that. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Al John. I am a lifelong Disney, Marvel, Star Wars, pop culture fan. And welcome to the show. Every week we count down your top 10s, your favorites from all of those franchises underneath that big Disney multiverse, the metaverse, whatever you want to call it. There's a lot of stuff in there. Disney owns a lot.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Joining me, as always, is the travel guru, Kristen.
Disney foodie.
Disney foodie. Go ahead. Yes. Give them your resume.
I would say travel expert, Disney foodie, and foodie souvenir collector. Okay. How's that sound?
Sure. It's whatever, you know? But you were going to say, Kristen? What else were you going to say?
That's all I was going to say.
Oh, okay. All right. That's cool. We're going to talk about some of that foodie collection stuff today.
I know.
As well, part of our headlines. We'd love for you to follow us on social media, if you would. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all the normal places you would find us. You can also send us those emails for show discussion or just overall questions at thedisneylist@gmail.com, you know, or DM us on Facebook. That's also wonderfully effective. We'd also we'd love for you to leave reviews on the show if you would, through your favorite podcast platform, or send us a tip in the tip jar there at srsounds.com on our show page. We'd appreciate that too. And supporting all of our efforts here over the years and years of hosting these podcasts on Sorcerer Radio. So we have an awesome list. I can't, Space Mountain is one of our favorite attractions. I love sci-fi. I love space. I love Disney. So it brings all my favorite things together. Kristen, why do you love Space Mountain so much?
Well, I love roller coasters.
Oh, yes. To start. There's
so,
that.
You know, it's a roller coaster. And I like the fact that it's in the dark.
In the dark.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's cool.
You can't see what's coming up. And especially if you are in that front seat, that is the best place to be, is in the front seat of your car, because that way you really have no idea what's coming up. Whereas if you're sitting behind that seat anywhere back, you already feel it as it starts to, you know, turn before it turns.
I remember, do you remember me telling you about my experience at Tokyo Disneyland riding Space Mountain there?
I do not.
So I went there with my buddy from work. It was my birthday weekend and I was in Japan for work. And he took me to the park and was like, oh, this is great. You know, blah, blah, blah. I have never been to Disneyland either. So we both go. And it's so similar. You know, you go into Space Mountain. It's absolutely immaculate. It looks amazing. It's great. And I waited in the front to ride the front car. And he'd never ridden. So he actually rode in front of me. And he freaked out.
Oh, really?
He was like, oh, I hate that it's in the dark. Oh, my gosh. But, you know.
That's my favorite cool place.
But it's the best. I love Space Mountain. It is probably in our top five most iconic. I would say it's probably one of the most iconic Disney rides. When people think of Disney, Disney parks, Disneyland, Disney World, and because it's so prolific through all the different parks, except for Shanghai, I would say that it's probably one of the more signature rides. When you think of Disney, you think of Space Mountain. I think a lot of people do that. It's probably just as iconic of a symbol for the Disney parks as Cinderella's castle, or Sleeping Beauty's castle for that matter.
Or as a castle.
Or just as a castle. It is a mountain. And the mountains are mirroring a lot of the Disney castles. So pretty cool. Well, anyway, we're going to talk about that in depth here in just a little bit. But before the cat catches my tongue again, where I can't read anything, I was going to say we need to launch into this news. I was going to say we launch into the news, and then I hit the news bed, and it's, you know, it's not this, it's this. That's more like it. We've got brand new Disney merch. Yeah. Orange Bird is making his way into all this classic Disney merch, including magic bands and more. That's pretty awesome.
I love the Orange Bird.
Yes, absolutely. Look at this. We've got brand new Harvey's Collection purses and mm-hmm. tote bags. Harvey's makes those cool bags out of the safety belt nylon material. Seatbelt. Which is kind of cool. So brand's creator, Dana and Melanie Harvey, will be at the Marketplace Co-op at Disney Springs on Saturday, May 7th, so just a few days away, from 9:30 to 12 p.m. to celebrate Harvey's Orange Bird Collection. Guests are welcome to swing by the shop, get their bag signed, wow, and get a photo with a Harvey's. And it's got a really cool bag. You know, it's got a purple bag with an orange handle and Orange Bird in all of his fun, taking a nap, singing, dancing, tweeting, and eating oranges. That's kind of weird that the Orange Bird would be eating oranges, but maybe he's not really eating oranges. I don't know. But it
is cute.
He's
just dancing with oranges, maybe?
He's just dancing. Yeah, he's just dancing. He's having fun. The other thing I love is, along with this new merchandise, I love this because I want to get this and I want to frame it. It is brand new 1971 50th anniversary merch. They've got a brand new, it looks like some kind of long sleeve shirt that has a park map on it. And they have the actual folded park maps that are going to be back in stock soon. So you can check it out, unfold it, and frame it. The map is $7.99 as we record this, and you can pick it up at the Magic Kingdom's Main Street Cinema. I want this.
And that's really
I want
cool.
to frame it. I want to frame it. It's really cool. And it's got all the original font and all the original colors. So it's totally retro.
That's not a bad price, $7.99. I would have expected it to be more than that. And I'm sure it will be in like another week.
Find it on eBay. You would have to go to Disneyana or D23 conventions to buy original maps.
Oh, yeah.
Because people still had stockpiled a bunch. And, you know, at the end of the day, they ended up recycling at the time, throwing a lot of those maps away. So that's pretty neat. Anyway, Muppets logo minifigures are coming out really soon as well. And they're recently released pictures of these minifigure Legos of Kermit and his Rainbow Connection banjo. You've got Miss Piggy with the Miss Piggy kind of People magazine. Fozzie the Bear and his microphone with his banana. Is that a banana in your ear? And you also have Camilla and Gonzo.
Gonzo.
And I said Camilla first because I was like looking. It's like, that's Gonzo, but he's throwing me off with his Red Hot Chili shirt. I almost said Red Hot Chili Pepper. I'm thinking about Space Mountain here. Hyperspace Mountain. And then there's Janice and her guitar, which, by the way, that's not her real guitar. Her real guitar is a Les Paul, just so you know. And she's left-handed, you know. Also, you see, I'm pointing out these inaccuracies. They also have the Swedish Chef and a...
I want the Swedish Chef.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And then Statler and Waldorf as well. You've got Animal and Ralph. Ralph with some sheet music and Animal with a little kick drum, bass drum, and cymbal and a drumstick. And then you have Beaker and Dr. Bunsen Honeydew as well. So you'll be able to check that out. Each sold separately at $4.99, or you can get a mystery pack of figures for $29.94. Mystery pack, that is horrible. I want the entire collection. Just give me the entire collection and make it happen. Because, you know, look, you know, you're going to get, you know, six minifigs for $29.94. I guess you'll just have to buy them all separately. That's pretty expensive when you get down to it, if you want everything. But if you're like Kristen, you'll probably just get the Swedish Chef. And of course, you can find that over there at the Muppet Gift Shop over there at the Muppet Studio at Muppet Vision 3D. Kristen, you also covered this Earth Day, which is going to be happening really, really soon. When is Earth Day?
It is, I believe, the 22nd, right?
22nd, so just a few days away.
Yep.
So with Earth Day comes brand new treats that you can pick up at Animal Kingdom. And they always celebrate Earth Day in such a big way, as well as Animal Kingdom Lodge, Disney's Boardwalk. Disneyland is doing some stuff with Disneyland California, Grand Californian Hotel and Spa, and Disneyland Resort. They have a bunch of great food items. You break this down. in the latest episode of the Dining at Disney podcast, where you talk about all the great drinks and cupcakes and different things you can partake in for all the different parks around the globe celebrating this. But what are some of your favorites?
I would have to say the cupcakes are my favorite. They have the one that is the pink flamingo cupcake, and that's really pretty. And then there is a honeybee cupcake. Mm-hmm. And it's got like little bees on it, and it looks like a little piece of a honeycomb. And the last cupcake, well, no, two more cupcakes. There is the ladybug cupcake, which is probably my favorite because I really like ladybugs. And lastly, they have in the shape of a boot, a cupcake. And it is based on the scene in Wally, where there's, you know, a little sprout growing from in the boot.
I love that. That's Eve's little sprout there that she's supposed to take care of. So anyway, you can find the plant-based boot with a spice cake over there at Animal Kingdom Lodge over at the Mara. You can find the garden cupcake with a ladybug, which is awesome, over at the Boardwalk Bakery. And you'll be able to find the honeybee cupcake, which is orange cake with Bavarian filling, over there at the...
It's at Creature Comforts and Restaurantosaurus.
Over there at Animal Kingdom. And the flamingo cupcake you can find at Pizzafari and Flame Tree Barbecue. Flame Tree Barbecue.
Yes.
Over at Disney's Animal Kingdom. Pretty cool. Another great, great thing that they're doing is another fan favorite parade getting its own merch. And so with that, you've got the Main Street Electrical Parade that's going to be making its return over there for the first time since 2019, returning to Disneyland here on the 22nd. So that's great. So you can check out the Main Street Electrical Parade and all the great merch. But what is really awesome about this, not only have purses, bags, and shirts, and jackets, and everything, but I want to tell you that their popcorn bucket and sipper is probably the coolest thing I've seen.
Yeah, the turtle sipper. Mm-hmm. And then the popcorn bucket is the dragon.
Mm-hmm. Get them while supplies last. It's only one per person, or is it two per person?
Two per person. Yes.
So they don't have a Figment, you know, situation that happens, breaking out, killing people. Also, over there on the left coast, you've got your chance to see the original Star Wars trilogy, if you have not, to see it on the big screen. Kristen, have you ever seen the original trilogy on the big screen in the 80s? You don't remember?
I don't recall.
You saw the prequel trilogy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in the 90s. But I remember seeing, I remember when Return of the Jedi came out, I almost saw it like every week. My friends and I, we saw it so many times in the theater. It was awesome. It's like, can we go see Return of the Jedi? Of course, we didn't have VHSs at the time, so it was the only way to go and see it. And it was so awesome. But you'll be able to see it. It's been 45 years since people have been able to see the very first Star Wars movie that aired in theaters. And I say that knowing that there have been occasions where you could see they brought the original trilogy back when they remastered them and put some special effects, the special edition versions in theaters back right around prequel time. So I remember them releasing them in the theaters. It was pretty cool. But there is an opportunity, if you're there for El Capitan's screening in Los Angeles, you'll be able to see all three original Star Wars films starting April 28th, just a few days away. And there are showings of A New Hope, The Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. Get your tickets for them while you can. Also, in Marvel news, the marvelous news is that they're being applauded for representing disabled people in their Disney shows. So you've got Moon Knight, as well as Eternals, Hawkeye, and... the Eternals and Hawkeye, because they all have different people being represented, whether it's people with, you know, mental illness, or people that have hearing disabilities, people using American Sign Language and things of that nature, which is really cool, which I think all of those Disney films and TV shows on Disney Plus do a really good job because they're great characters. I think they're very well written and they've done great stuff. So anyway, kudos to Marvel Studios for being applauded for getting that seal of authentic representation from the Ruderman Family Foundation. And that is reported by the Hollywood Reporter. In sad news, we didn't mention this in the last show. I think it happened early last week, but we hadn't gotten a chance to talk about this. And this is comedian Gilbert Gottfried had passed away. So Gilbert Gottfried passed away at the age of 67. And it was just one of those things. He was a great comedian. And I remember him doing stand-up, you know, on TV for many, 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 many years. Of course, many people remember him in Aladdin in playing Iago, which was one of the, I guess, more G-rated characters that he has portrayed over the years. But anyway, rest in peace, Gilbert Gottfried.
But now you also have a third voice that's been lost from when they did the under new management of the Tiki Room. Because you already had, Jerry Orbach.
Yes.
Phil Hartman, and now you have Gilbert Godfrey.
Yes, there he is. Robin Williams. Robin Williams was in that photo. Yeah. It's very, very sad that all three of them had passed. And there was also one with Louis Anderson as well.
That's who I was thinking Louis of. Anderson that one
also,
I had seen.
Yeah, Louis Anderson also would tie us with Disney as well. I mean, all those comedians. But anyway, rest in peace, Gilbert.
It's the Disney List. Top 10. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Man, once again, Space Mountain is awesome. Yeah, there you go. This is the part I love about the Space Mountain music. You know, but we love Space Mountain, and here's our top 10 facts about Space Mountain. Before we get into the facts, let's talk a little bit about Walt Disney World Space Mountain, the original. It was a concept that was a descendant of the Disney Mountain attractions. The Matterhorn bobsled over there at Disneyland opened in 1959, and it was so popular that we decided to have, and I say we, I mean Walt Disney, because he was a guy, made that decision to have a sequel and make another awesome ride. And the Matterhorns didn't fit with their systems, and not their systems, but the space that they had allotted for it, it didn't fit. But the technology wasn't available for that particular attraction to get put into place until 1975. So that was one of the very first kind of computer controlled attractions that they had in the Disney parks. Pretty cool indeed, right? To help cover the cost of developing and building Space Mountain, Carb Walker, the CEO of Walt Disney Productions, convinced RCA chairman Rob Sarnoff to sponsor the new attraction, and RCA was contacted to provide the communications hardware for the Walt Disney World Resort and all that stuff there. So RCA would provide $10 million to support Space Mountain as they open. I thought that was pretty neat.
That's a lot of money for back at that time period.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a lot of money. But once again, I mean, it was cool. It's just a cutting edge attraction at the time. And in fact, a musical variety episode of NBC's Wonderful World of Disney on NBC, right? Crazy. Celebrated the opening on March 23rd, 1975, starring actor Lucy Arnaz, Lucille Ball. And it was the first Walt Disney World Network special, the previous one being syndicated. So here's a little bit of the opening day, if you will, over there at Space Mountain. I think it's pretty awesome. Check this out.
Pageant of Nations with a 2,000 member band. Can you stand it? Later there'll be 50,000 balloons and fireworks like you've never seen before. Red, white, and blue. And we're finally going to get our chance to ride Space Mountain. Now look up on the stage. There's a man who piloted America's second orbital flight, the pilot of Mercury 7, Scott Carpenter. And next to him, a gentleman who flew 142 flights around the Earth on two missions, veteran of Mercury 9 and Gemini 5, Gordon Cooper. And also seated next to him is Jim Irwin, a man who not only found galaxies in space, but a special feeling of man's relationship to God, the pilot of the lunar module of Apollo 15, and founder of the Spiritual High Flight Foundation. Colonel Jim Irwin is about to speak.
This great achievement for science and technology was possible because of dedicated men who had the vision for the future. We astronauts are here today to salute all those who made our trip into space possible. They have permitted us to see the Earth as a precious blue jewel in the blackness of space. Now all of us may enjoy this sense of wonder because of Walt Disney. Walt had a dream. Today we see the results of that dream.
Of people there in the marching band. It was like every high school marching band flew down. We cut a little bit of this for time, but...
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we proudly present Space Mountain.
What happened to Mickey?
I don't know. He sounded like he was sucking on helium.
Anyway, that's a little bit of... Yeah, you know, there you go. And then the fireworks go off. There you go. For Space Mountain there. Opening day. Pretty neat. Look at all those balloons.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice, right? So I guess what we can do is maybe start with one of the numbers here. I was going to say, what do we start with? Why don't we start with this one?
Number 10.
Do you know that Space Mountain is actually a slowpoke attraction?
It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Each rocket ship speeds at, get this, a whopping 28 miles per hour. Splash Mountain reaches 40 miles per hour when it goes down that hill. And Barnstormer, the kiddie coaster, goes at 25 miles per hour. So you're only going a couple more miles an hour than the Barnstormer. Put that in perspective, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. As opposed to Rock and Roller Coaster, which goes from 0 to 60 in 2 seconds. Something like that. Yeah. Did you realize you were going that slow?
No, but it doesn't surprise me. It doesn't feel like a fast ride. It's just, you don't know what's coming ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't obviously spend a whole lot of money on the interior of the ride. It's all in the exterior of the queue. But anyway, pretty neat. Pretty neat.
Number 9.
So the global spaceports. There are variations of Space Mountain across the United States and across the world. So other than Walt Disney World, they opened the Nick Space Mountain on May 27th, 1977. After 2 years of construction and spending $20 million, they opened it up over there at Disneyland, which was awesome. It had a fast food restaurant. It had a arcade there. And 6 of the original 7 Mercury astronauts attended the opening. Scott Carpenter, Gordon Cooper, Senator John Glenn, Wally Szercza, Alan Shepard, and Deke Slayton. So there you go. And when they opened, the record was set Memorial Day with 185,000 guests over a 3-day period. So there you have it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Now, Tokyo Disneyland opened on April 15th of 1983, the one that I was talking about at the top of the show. From its opening in 83 until 2006, Tokyo's Space Mountain over in Disneyland was almost an exact clone of Disneyland Space Mountain. And then the ride was redesigned to have a more futuristic look, similar to the refurbished Walt Disney World version with new effects and a new spaceport that has a futuristic spaceship hanging from the ceiling like Walt Disney World. There is no ride audio in the seats like Walt Disney World. And that's where I think Disneyland has a little bit of a leg up because I like the speakers like Rock and Roller Coaster, which is awesome. Now, Disneyland Paris, you want to read a little bit about Disneyland Paris?
Yeah, it opened on June 1st of 1995, 3 years after the park's opening. It was originally called De la Terra a la Luna, mm-hmm. I believe. It was originally designed with a view of space travel from Jules Verne's era of know, that kind of perspective, based on the novel From the Earth to the Moon.
Yep. And yep. The original title, the French title.
And it says that the track is very different from the other four. It's the only one to include a launch in three inversions. So it's got a sidewinder, corkscrew, and a horseshoe.
Yeah.
And in 2005, they did some modifications. So it became Space Mountain Mission 2. So it was different from the ride that it had been. And it took riders beyond the moon. And in January of 2015, the ride closed and they did another refurbishment, reopening that August. And then again, the ride was temporarily closed in January of 2017 and was replaced with Star Wars Hyperspace Mountain on May 5th.
I love me some Hyperspace Mountain.
I do too.
You want to hear a little bit of that soundtrack here?
Sure.
John Williams. I just love how
you're always supported.
Blue 6 standing by.
Roger. Standing by.
Blue 4 here.
Blue 5 standing by.
Blue 3 standing by.
Blue 7 standing by.
Go, go, pilots.
Always prepare to jump into hyperspace on my mark. Punch it.
I love how their mark is punch it. Just like punch a Chewy. I have to admit that just sounds great. Hyperspace Mountain, one of these days we'll have to check out Disneyland Paris.
I have done the one at Disneyland. Did that.
Yeah, pretty neat. Yeah.
Well, I like the fact that they occasionally all change theirs up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wish Disney World did that.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the other Space Mountain, there's Hong Kong Disneyland. And Space Mountain in Hong Kong was the very first refurbished Space Mountain at Disneyland with a similar soundtrack and layout. It featured new show elements there, like the hyperspeed tunnel. It did not feature a rock and Space Mountain configuration that was featured in Disneyland, but like most Space Mountains, Space Mountains, the boarding area of the attraction is pretty small. Not present is a space station of two of its more similar counterparts at Disneyland and Tokyo Disneyland. It's got an earth tone palette with star patterns decorating the area, lining the walls. The station has colored neon light bars that are used for lighting and decoration. So there it's the storyline is identical to Disneyland Paris's version. So there's Hong Kong. You know, they all have to tailor their ride to somewhat cater to the locals and their expectations about it. So I think there's a little bit of, you know, that going on. And of course, Shanghai doesn't have it. They just have the Tron light cycle, which is still pretty cool. So there are different variants. As we talked about Hyperspace Mountain, which is really cool. But one of my favorite ones that they had was Rockin' Space Mountain. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
So this became part of the Year of a Million Dreams.
It seems like so far away. I remember it like it was yesterday.
And that was back in 2007. And it was transformed to have a special edition at nighttime only.
This is at Disneyland.
And it was, yes. And it was created originally for Disney Grad Nights, which was a private event for graduating students.
It's not generally for the general public.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So the ride changes. One of them was the soundtrack changed the song to Higher Ground by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Mm-hmm. And they had colored flashing lights along the track. And Uncle Joe Benson, who is a radio DJ from Disney's own 95.5 KLOS, welcome the riders.
Yes, have a listen.
Welcome aboard, Rocket Rockers. This is your Uncle Joe Benson, broad blasting live across the universe.
Energizing rocket receptors. Powering up.
Oh, I would love to have seen this.
Looks like we've been cleared for blast off, and it sounds like the Red Hot Chili Peppers are on the space stage.
Not the Chili Peppers, y'all. Just like the guitarist.
No matter which planet you're from, you're about to rock your world. And it's all gonna happen in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yeah, I love that. Don't you just, I mean, this is such a great tune. Right? Yeah. Higher Ground from Red Hot Chili Peppers. Pretty awesome. And then you pull in. Double time.
Welcome back, Rocket Rockers. You rock the universe.
You know what I want them to do? I want them to do a No Doubt one.
Yeah. Nah, that'd be nice if they did. That'd be really nice. But I was going to say, didn't they do a variation of the No Doubt soundtrack?
I don't know.
I'm thinking that they did, but okay.
Or it could have been for California Screamin' that maybe they did some, because I know they've done, at one time they had changed that too.
I'll have to remember when it was
California Screamin'.
I'll have to remember that, because, you know, they did have Gwen Stefani on the Rip. What was that Universal attraction? You see, I'm
Rip Ride Rocket.
Rip Roaring Rocket, whatever. This is a Disney show, y'all. Okay. All right. So we have that. The other variant that they had was Ghost Galaxy over there at Disneyland as well. And they also had it over there at Hong Kong Disneyland. And so it first premiered over at Hong Kong in 2007 and then Disneyland on September 25th, 2009 as part of the Halloween season at the parks. It made use of the Rockin' Space Mountain overlay that we just talked about. And inside the space station, the planet screen had been changed to reflect the overlay of this green ghostly storm that appeared over a planet. Static appeared, then into a blue screen, reminiscent of the blue screen of death. Lost signal. Searching and signal established outside the dome. 5 projections played. Halloween-themed color schemes appeared between these projection shows, which was really cool. And I know a lot of people have a lot of fond memories from Ghost Galaxy, which is really great because they had different projections and different nebula ghosts and things like that, which were really cool. So when you look at the Ghost Galaxy, it had some pretty awesome tunes as well. So here's a little flavor for you. I love the music. Yeah, so anyway, yeah, it's very, very cinematic, the music.
Oh, yeah.
And then we talked about Hyperspace Mountain as well. So we had that seasonal version at Disneyland. The overlays happened at Disneyland November 16th of 2015 as part of Season of the Force. So there you go. And I love that. Now that they occasionally will have, over there at Hong Kong Disneyland, and Hyperspace Mountain, Disneyland Paris, they will periodically have these re-themes and overlays that happen as well, which is pretty neat. So, alrighty then. Gosh, man. We've had so many facts about Space Mountain. But let's talk about the height restrictions.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
It says Space Mountain was built at a height of 90 feet to ensure it didn't overshadow Cinderella's castle, which towers over the Magic Kingdom at 183 feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. You can't be the castle. The castle always has to be the tallest one they have to do. And I think the number, I guess this is number 10, gang. This is the last bit. Is that, this is number 9.
Okay.
No, number 2. This is the worst list ever, gang, because I totally numbered these backwards.
We're tired.
I'm tired. I'm so tired over this Easter weekend. So groundbreaking science. As I mentioned, true to Tomorrowland style, this innovative land created the world's first computer-generated coaster. Computers were not only used to create the path tracks, but also control actual rides and technology in real time. And there you go. So once again, this was the very first computer-operated coaster. So thank you, Disney Imagineering. Now, number one in all of this, I'm not going to hit the sound effect this time. I'm just going to read it to you.
Okay.
There's some really cool things in the code, in the queue. So as you walk through, when you go in and you see the spaceport sign, there are some monitors to the right of it that have these different codes in it. And in these codes are some Easter eggs. Tomorrowland Station MK1, which is where you're at if you're in Walt Disney World. And then it also have little Easter eggs that will direct you to the other space stations. TL Space Station 77, which is TL for Tomorrowland, and that is for Disneyland, opening in 1977. Discovery Landing Station, which is Discovery Paris and Discoveryland. And then Ishida Base in Tokyo, which Ishida stands for tomorrow. So Tomorrowland Base in Tokyo. And HK Spaceport E-TKT for e-ticket ride at the Hong Kong Disneyland Spaceport. How cool is that?
Interesting.
Now, as you leave the attraction, now this bums me out. I love the moving walkway. I love the moving walkway. And they took that thing out.
Yeah, I don't like that they took it out.
No bueno. But as you pass the MK Station robot workstation as you leave, there's a panel that says closed sectors.
Yes.
So can you decode these? Kristen, what are the different codes there?
Let's see. So there's FLMTWR. So Florida, I'm guessing.
Fantasyland.
Oh, Fantasyland. Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Yeah, these closed sectors are for closed rides. All right.
So the next one is TLSK2FL, and that is Tomorrowland, Skyway to Fantasyland.
Yes.
Next one is MSUSB. So Main Street USA, Swan Boats.
See, I'm springing this on you because you didn't know this. So this is new. Go ahead.
And FLMMR. So Fantasyland, Mickey Mouse Review. Mm-hmm. And then last is TLM2M. And that's Tomorrowland. Mission to Mars.
Yes.
Very interesting.
Pretty neat now. Now, open sectors at the workstation. So as you look at the MK1 robot workstation, there's another panel that reads open sectors. Kristen, do you want to decode some of these?
Sure.
Okay.
FLMAWP, Fantasyland, Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh.
There you go.
AFC, which is Adventureland, Aladdin's Flying Carpets.
Nice.
FLMPH, so Fantasyland, Mickey's PhilharMagic. FRLSM, Frontierland, Space Mountain. Mm-hmm. TLBLSRS, Tomorrowland, Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin. And lastly, you have TLMILFAFF. So that's Tomorrowland, Monsters, Inc., Laugh for Factory.
Laugh Factory. Sorry. That's a lot of letters. It's like worse than a license plate. Just crazy stuff. Now, as I mentioned at the very top of the show, this is probably one of my favorite ones, and we've seen this time and time again. But you may not know the significance of this. So back in the day when RCA had underwritten and sponsored the attraction, their mascot was the little dog Nipper listening to a record player.
Yes.
Right? That was the RCA dog. So now as a tribute, you have the robotic dog Nipper who's sitting next to a flat screen TV.
You know, I did not know that dog had a name.
Nipper?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Nipper the dog. And you can see Nipper as you leave. And this whole thing, as I said, when I talked about this thing, is the The moving runway, the moving walkway has been removed, but you can see this there on the dioramas to the right as you leave Space Mountain at Walt Disney World's exit line or queue, but not queue line because those are redundant terms. So I'm just saying,
I'll have to remember to use that the next time one of those things pop up use poor grammar or whatever they have, see those things on Facebook. And I always am like trying to think of something that nobody else would think.
Use either line or cue, but never cue line. Come on, people. Is that too much to ask?
Jettison Disneyland 1 Space Mountain Code 2, clear for takeoff.
Instrumentation, go.
Go.
Electrical.
Go.
All personnel, clear the launch platform.
Space Mountain. It could only happen at Disneyland.
Hilarious.
Isn't that the best?
Her scream was from a horror movie kind of scream. It's just... Wow.
I hope everyone had a good time checking in with us for yet another edition of the Disney List. And as Space Mountain's sleepy music brings our show to a close, Kristen, you want to tell everybody how people can get in touch with you?
Yes, for travel, you can contact me at themeparksandcruises@gmail.com. And then if you are into Disney food, check out diningatdisney.com. You can also listen to the Dining at Disney podcast as well.
Nice.
Available on your favorite podcasting platform.
Very nice. Very nice. Yes. Book your trip with Kristen. Please do. themeparksandcruises@gmail.com. And you can also check out our sister show to the Disney List and Dining at Disney podcast with this show called Skull Rock Podcast. Skull Rock Podcast, hosted by myself, pop culturist, and former Disney creative man, mastermind, award-winning author and animator Dave Bossert. We have Disney guests come in all the time, and we talk about the favorite Disney films, attractions, theme parks, what's streaming, what's on Disney Plus, what's in theaters, what's coming. Just everything you want to know about animation, film, and what's streaming on TV from David and myself as we follow the world of entertainment at Skull Rock Podcast, wherever you get podcasts, and on the Sorcerer Radio Podcast Network. You can also find me, Al John Go, on Instagram. Once again, please like, share, and subscribe to all of our shows. The show archive there is at thedisneylist.com. You can also follow us and get all the show archives there on anchor.fm, where you can also leave us tips and tip jars. Yeah, that's important. That'd be really cool. You can support the show for little as 99 cents per month. And then you can also leave us a tip there at Sorcerer Radio at srsounds.com. Any final words, Kristen?
I hope everybody had a happy Easter.
We do too. Yes. Have a great week, everybody. And thank you so much for listening. My name's Al John.
And I'm Kristen. And we'll see you real soon.
R2, what are you saying? Are you saying it's time to end the show?
The information and opinions expressed in this podcast are for entertainment and informational purposes. All other trademarks mentioned are the property of their respective owners.
Skull Rock Podcast, talking all things Disney, with your hosts, Al John Go and Dave Bossert.
Do you just love to learn more about the magic that embodies animated films, theme park attractions, and more? The all-encompassing universe created and produced by the genius of Walt Disney has spanned nearly 100 years and counting.
From his earliest film endeavors with the Laugh-O-Gram cartoons and the Alice comedies, to the creation of Mickey Mouse, to the first animated feature film, Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, and then dreaming of Disneyland, Walt Disney continuously raised the creative bar, and today his company has carried on that tradition as a global entertainment juggernaut. I'm Dave Bossert, artist, filmmaker, and author.
And I'm Al John Go, musician, podcaster, and radio guy. Every week, Dave and I will explore the entertainment galaxy that is Disney with insightful conversation, stories, and special guests talking all things Disney.
Listen to never-before-heard stories and behind-the-scenes moments from some of your favorite Disney films. theme park attractions, performances, books, music, and so much more from knowledgeable, insightful, and thought-provoking hosts and guests. Hear the latest news about Disney past, present, and future.
Skull Rock Podcast is your go-to source for the magic we all love. Skull Rock Podcast. Visit skullrockpodcast.com. I'm Al John Goh, co-host of the Disney List podcast as heard on Sorcerer Radio, as well as Skull Rock Podcast, here with my wife, Kristen. Hello.
Hello.
You are an earmarked agent who books Disney travel vacations for people all the time. Give our listeners a reason why they want to give you a call instead of just booking a trip by themselves.
Well, I can do all of the legwork for them. I have expertise. I've been to the Disney parks well over 100 times, so they've got that knowledge at their hand, as well as it saves them time and money.
Where can people get in touch with you so that they can book their next Disney cruise, Disney park trip, Adventures by Disney?
They can contact me at themeparksandcruises@gmail.com.